Steve Goodman is an educational consultant and admissions strategist. Incidentally, we had previously scheduled and will have an interview later on with an internet security expert in the show today. But right now we're talking about the fact that tuition has gone up at the University of Minnesota again. When they announced this, everybody just kind of says, yeah, that's what happens. But if something costs more, if they're going to charge you more, then it's reasonable to expect that you'll get better service or something in return for the hike in price. I don't think it's always inflation. Steve Goodman, as I said, is an educational consultant and admission strategist. You've probably read some of his articles about the quality of education versus the price online. Hi, Steve. It's John Williams. How are you?
Hello, John. Nice to chat with you.
I'm just a wreck, Steve, so don't even think this is going to be a sensible conversation.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think this is going to be sensible at all, because just because a college raises tuition doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily get more for your money.
Well, why do schools raise tuition?
Because they can. It's as simple as that. It's supply and demand. If College X raises the tuition, then College Y can raise the tuition. If College Y raises the tuition, College Z can raise the tuition. I know you're talking about the University of Minnesota, but really the biggest gift to the University of Minnesota has been Carleton and McAllister, because every time Carleton and McAllister raise their tuition rates, Minnesota looks like a bargain and relative to Carleton and McAllister, and it enables the University of Minnesota to raise its rates.
Well, and relative to Northwestern or Michigan or Illinois, it is. I don't think I'm just being a homer here. The University of Minnesota is one of the great education values in this country. Don't you agree?
It is a great educational value, and I have a lot of students who've gone there and had great experiences there. But you asked about the cost, and the reason that universities raise the tuition is because they really can. There's no dean in charge of cutting costs. There are deans in charge of doing all sorts of things and providing all sorts of services for students and faculty, but there's no one there who's there to look after the costs, and that's the problem.
Students at our seven state universities are going to pay a couple hundred dollars more starting in the fall, and I think that's per semester. That might be per year, but it represents a 3.4% increase over last year. And as I said a moment ago, I think we all just shrug and say, well, if you're going to spend $15,000, what's $15,200? You know, I don't feel like we have any pushback, Steve.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think the average person does. I think the only way this is going to stop is if the states step in or Congress steps in and says, no more. We're not going to continue giving tax breaks to universities if the rate keeps going up at the rate that it does. To put this in some context, if you go back to 1980, and you looked at tuition then compared to tuition now, and you looked at the rate of increase, if a gallon of milk had risen at the same rate, we'd now be paying $15 for a gallon of milk.
Okay, that sounds like a lot, and yet I'll defend them here in that professors want raises just like talk show hosts and admissions experts. So if they're going to get raises each year, then you can't expect the price to be held down. Building of new buildings is very expensive. New technologies are becoming available that universities vie for. What do you make of those sorts of explanations?
Well, I think those are fair points, but that doesn't mean that the rate has to go up at the way in the amount that it has. I mean, clearly costs go up, IT costs go up, building ground maintenance goes up. That's, I think, absolutely correct. But the question is, does it need to go at the rate that it's going? And that's the problem that I have, because my students who come to me and who are looking for university experiences, their parents are saving a lot of money when the kids are born or when their kids are very young, and if the rate continues at the way it's going, it basically outstrips parents' ability to pay the tuition relative to what they've saved for.
Oh, God, yeah. Are you kidding me? And I think it's a tragedy that we all fall into that trap of wanting the best for our kids. And so a $25,000 a year education right now is inexpensive compared to the $50,000. And so we say, well, by God, if that's what my kid wants and they can get in, we'll get them. We'll worry about how we're going to pay for it. And we're graduating kids who are in debt tens of thousands of dollars. That's That's, I think, unconscionable. And the universities, if I were king, would only let the students get into debt so much. They would say, if the cost of an education here is $100,000 and you're already $25,000 in debt, you can no longer attend this school because when you graduate, there's no sense in graduating. What kind of an education is that if now you've got to pay it off for the rest of your life?
Well, that's a fair point, but you have to remember also that, you know, education in the United States is also a public policy issue, and a lot of people argue that if a university were to do that, particularly a public university, then that would essentially be limiting access to the university for people who are on the poorer end of the spectrum.
Well, we're not doing them any favors by saying, okay, we'll let you in, we'll just delay the payment, then they go get themselves a $28,000 a year job, and they owe $2,800 a year in interest and in some principal. I mean, I don't have to tell you how difficult it is. In fact, it's $1.2 trillion right now, and Hillary Clinton's one of the main components of her campaign is going to be, how do we help these kids with this debt, which I think is I'm not sure that we're supposed to. I don't know that that's my obligation to help them. You know, I paid my way. Why can't they pay theirs, Steve?
Well, I think I'm glad that Hillary Clinton and other politicians are addressing the issue. But I think the broader issue is, why does college cost so much?
Yeah.
Not so much how much do we pay once we've already had the debt. The real issue is, in my view, is why aren't universities using more of their savings, their endowment funds, to pay down how much students are paying? A lot of universities have a lot of money, and for a university, $5,000 doesn't mean very much. But for Mr. and Mrs. Jones, yeah, $5,000 means a lot. And I think the university should use more of their endowment funds to help middle-class families pay tuition bills.
I like the sound of that. I'd be inclined to give if I thought that was going to help some kids and not build another spectacular building. Don't you think the construction costs at universities are kind of crazy? They never do anything cheap. Those buildings look fantastic.
Well, you're right, but part of what you asked before is the same question, really, which is that, you know, there's a supply and demand issue here, which is that when students go around visiting campuses, they expect nice dorms, they expect nice dining halls, and of course, if one university does it, then the next one has to do it, and there's a little bit of an arms race going on.
It's true. In fact, you know, they're really putting money these days are in those student rec centers. These health clubs that kids get to go to for 4 years are the sorts of things you and I can't afford when we graduate, but by golly, the university's got a new one for them.
Well, I was recently at Texas Christian University, and you would not believe the athletic facilities at Texas Christian.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you're speaking about for the varsity athletes.
No, I'm talking about just for regular people who just go and want to work out first thing in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not just for the varsity athletes or even for the junior varsity athletes. We're talking about facilities for students. The vast majority of American kids who are going to schools like the University of Minnesota, like Carleton, like Stanford University, like UCLA, and plenty of schools like throughout the country, they're expecting terrific, terrific facilities, and they're getting terrific facilities. But, of course, they're paying for them as well.
You're an admissions strategist, meaning you help kids get into the schools they want to get into?
Right. I help students with the college search, and then I help them figure out which universities will make the most sense from the choices they have. And along the way, of course, I help them with their applications.
Okay, so give me a couple of tips, Steve Goodman, educational consultant and admissions strategist, after a break. If you want to try and sneak in a call, 651-989-9226. I'm John Williams. This is CCO. Got just a little more than a minute with Steve Goodman. We're going to have him back. This is fascinating and depressing. Steve, will you join us again sometime soon?
I'd be delighted to, John, and I don't mean to be depressing or fascinating. I want people to be realistic and do what they can to find the right educational places for them.
What's one tip that we should take away if we're trying to get into a school or save money doing it?
Try to be the best applicant you can be, and how can you be the best applicant you can be is you want to focus on one or two things that really make you stand out and that make you special, and spend your time demonstrating that ability through the admissions and financial aid processes.
So if you can play the cello, or if you're good at something unusual, really make sure they know that.
Absolutely, and do it, and do it a lot.
Yeah, but and maybe that's advice for the ninth graders. I mean, there I am, a 12th grader, and you know what? I'm a fine student. I'm a nice kid. I deserve to go to a good school, but I'm not second chair in the orchestra. You know, what am I going to do?
Well, I think that may be part of a longer conversation. There's a lot that you can do, but there's not a lot that you can do, you know,
last minute.
In the last minute, just like right now. I mean, we only have a few seconds, but the same is true also in terms of preparation. You want to prepare in advance.
The bureaucracy of a college or you is what Joe in Minneapolis wanted to comment on. Joe, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. I think greater transparency and where the dollars go on the people who are spending it would be great. I really like the point that the guest made regarding the $15 gallon of milk. The cost, obviously, for education is just so great. And I'm just wondering what might the guest be able to tell us regarding where the dollars go? It's my understanding the University of California, San Diego has a department, as many universities do now. They've changed their business model. They have a vice chancellor of diversity and inclusion at the tune of $275,000 for that salary alone.
Well, think about this. Last year, the Strib did a series of articles about how many people are six-figure employees at the U, and it was staggering. Do they generally account, Steve, for where all of that money goes?
Well, yes, I think the caller is absolutely correct in asking for more transparency. I think more transparency is good, whether it's a government agency or whether it's a private entity or whether it's a public university. There's a natural tendency, of course, for bureaucracies to keep growing. The caller is absolutely right that if you go back a generation and look at who's at the university right now in terms of who's on the payroll, you'll see that there are lots of assistant vice chancellors, deputy vice chancellors to the assistant vice chancellors. And I think the caller is absolutely right.
It's nice to talk to you, Steve. We'll be in touch soon. Let's have another conversation, okay?
I look forward to it, John. Thanks.
His name is Steve Goodman. And by the way, Susan, if folks want to get in touch with him as an admissions consultant, let's put that on our links and information. I'll tell you how in a minute. It's 3:31. We'll catch up on the news next on CCO.